Morning. Good to see all of you here on this Easter Sunday. We're going to share a Bible study with you. Actually, we have been in the midst of a Bible study, and that's not going to stay there. We've been in the midst of a Bible study for about 6 or 8 weeks now, based on the freedom that he declared. And it's the freedom that God declares for all of us. And we're learning how, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can actually live free from the power of sin. But just like William Wallace learned, sometimes in order to be free and stay free, you have to be willing to fight for your freedom. And sometimes that's true for us even as believers, that even though Jesus Christ has conquered death, hell, and the grave, we still have an enemy that we deal with in this lifetime. And we fight from a place of victory and freedom. And yet he is constantly trying to steal our freedom from us. Sometimes he is successful, but we can always get that freedom back. And that's what this study has been all about. I want to start, since it is Resurrection Sunday, I want to start with a passage for you today from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is the resurrection chapter. And the Apostle Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians 15, verses, I'm going to read all the way from 1 through 8, and we'll just make a comment or two on a couple of verses, and then get back into our Bible study. Paul writes and says, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, and by which you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Excuse me. "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins." That's going to be the focus of the message today. "Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas," that's Peter, "and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James," this is the Lord's brother. "He appeared to James and then to all the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also." Let's pray together. And so, Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord that we will receive today. We trust, Father, that you will plant this word into our hearts as a seed that will grow and produce fruit in our lives. We thank you for what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, paying the price for our sins so that we could be forgiven. And we thank you for all of these witnesses who saw him after his resurrection, who saw him, who lived to tell others, and wrote to tell us the story and the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray today, Father, that as I share this message with these precious people in my church today, I pray that each one of us will hear something from heaven that will make a difference in how we live our lives in this earth. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit who has the power to make it all happen and bring it all to pass. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So it is Resurrection Sunday on 2024, and we remember and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the culmination of God's plan of the ages, of God's plan to restore humanity and really all of creation, to save creation and to restore humanity. The proof that he could do it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The proof that he had power over death, hell, and the grave is in his resurrection. The proof that Jesus is who he says he was is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so he is the culmination of God's plan of salvation for all of the world and for all of creation. It's a plan that began in a manger, 33 years later, made its way to a cross, 3 days later, was revealed in an empty tomb. Sin could not stop him. Death could not defeat him. And now all authority belongs to him in heaven and in earth. And all who believe in him are free from sin and death to spend eternity with him. And if it weren't enough that eternal life is ours through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have discovered that what Jesus did in his death, burial, and resurrection pays dividends for us as believers today and in this lifetime. One of the things that I like to do as a pastor and in my Bible teaching is to take the scriptures and to take the story, to take the theology. And look, it's good for us to know the historical account of what happened so many years ago. It's good for us to understand the theology of who Jesus is and what he was doing and all of these kinds of things. But what I like to do as a pastor is I like to take all of that history, all that theology, and I want to look at it, and I want to see all of these things, and I want to ask the question, what does all of that have to do with me today? Because listen, we're grateful for the salvation that is ours, that eternal life is ours, that when we leave this planet because we believe in Jesus, we go home to the Father to spend eternity with him. But the question for me is, does it make any difference for me today? Do I just have to wait for eternity before I can experience the benefits of the cross and the resurrection? Or is there something that the resurrection of Jesus means for me today? And the answer to the question is a resounding yes. Because just as surely as Jesus paid the price for the sins of every human being who has lived and ever will live, and he has paid the price to open heaven wide to all of us, and we can all be forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only was sin paid for, but the power of sin was broken over our lives so that today you and I can walk free from the power of sin. We don't have to live under the control of sin any longer because of what Jesus did. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the proof of it. He has the power to change everything about our lives. He has the power to set us free. Listen to me. We celebrate today the fact that Jesus Christ walked out of that grave. And the good news to you and me today is that just as he walked out of that grave, you and I can walk away from everything that's killing us today. Today, we can be free. And this is our message. This is what we've been focusing on for the last several weeks. The fact that Jesus broke the power of sin, didn't just pay for it, broke the power of it, is reflected in the scripture in Romans chapter 6 where Paul tells us, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies any longer. Don't let it reign. Look, I understand, the Bible understands, we're human beings. We are mortal flesh. We have a sinful nature. As long as we are on this planet, we're going to make mistakes. It's just the fact and reality of the humans that we are. But brother and sister, just because the Bible says we're going to doesn't mean we ought to plan on it. Okay? We shouldn't plan on sin just because the Bible says we're going to. The Bible also says we can be free from it. That's what we ought to plan on. We ought to plan on being free from sin. He said in Romans chapter 6, he says, don't be a servant to sin any longer, but rather become a servant of righteousness. And to Almighty God. And we have that choice to make. We can serve sin, or we can serve righteousness. And the power of the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us to give us the victory. It's why he went on to say in Romans chapter 8, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. And even further, he said, if the same Spirit, listen to this, if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that's what we're talking about, resurrection today. If the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he will bring life, listen, he will bring life to your mortal bodies. Please hear what he said. He didn't say he will make your mortal body immortal. He says he'll bring life to your mortal body. In the here and now, we can experience the life and the power of the Holy Spirit of God and live a different way. You and I can be free. We can be free. We don't have to be bound by sin. We don't have to live in habitual sin. We don't have to live with bad attitudes. We don't have to live with sinful addictions. We don't have to let these things control our lives. We can give ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him be Lord. And let the Holy Spirit have control over our lives. And we can live righteously for the Lord. And so Jesus has come to set the captives free. He's come to set captives free this morning. Oh, I know. Listen, sin presents itself as a pleasant thing, as a beautiful thing. You know, sin, I was thinking about it this week, sin's kind of like a politician. Sin makes you all kinds of beautiful and awesome promises, but doesn't tell you what those promises are going to cost you down the road. And that's what sin does. That's what sin does. And it presents itself as something lovely and something beautiful and something desirable and something pleasurable. But it doesn't tell us about the destruction that's going to follow down the road. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And it still is, brother and sister, even after we're born again. Yeah, we're heading for heaven, and praise God for that. But as we've said before, as long as we continue to choose sin in this lifetime, though we be headed for heaven, we can make our lives a living hell while we're here. We can make different choices. We can make better choices that will lead to us living a better life, because the power of sin has been broken over us by the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. The passage of scripture we've been using as the foundation of this whole series is in John chapter 8. And let me just read those couple of verses for you. And I'm going to do my best to get this whole message in one setting here. And make my point today, because I realize we've got a lot of visitors. And by the way, you're all invited back next week. Even if you don't live in town, you're still invited back next week to hear the rest of this message. Maybe I should say it that way. No. We realize that a lot of people are visitors today. And so we want to get this whole message in today to tell you how to live free in the Lord Jesus Christ today. We can be free. We can be free. Jesus says this in John chapter 8 and verse 31. Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word," that word continue is huge. The word continue is huge. It means you continually study the word of God. You continually meditate the word of God. You continually feed your heart on the word of God and let God speak to you from his word regularly, daily. Have fellowship with the Father. "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." That word "know" there, we've talked about that each time in verse 32. The word "know" there is not just information. It's not just knowing facts. It's having a revelation. It's knowing deeply in your heart the truth about certain things. When you study the word of God, you're going to learn some truth about certain things. You're going to learn the truth about God and the true nature of God. You're going to find out God loves you. You're going to find out God is not your enemy. God is not against you. God is not your problem. And that God is the answer to your problems. You have a revelation. When you study the word of God, you're going to find out the truth about sin. The Bible even acknowledges in the book of Hebrews that where sin comes, there is passing pleasure. But that pleasure is passing, and it leaves behind in its wake total destruction. For the wages of sin is death, you see. And so we learn the truth about sin, how harmful, how destructive it is if we give ourselves to it and let it have control over our lives. We learn about the devil, the real enemy, but we learn that the devil is already defeated and he has no authority over us. He's been stripped of all power and authority by the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, listen to me. You can't blame your problems on the devil anymore. You can't say, the devil made me do it. If you do it, it's because you chose to do it, okay? He doesn't have that kind of authority over us anymore. That's all been taken away by the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a revelation about who Jesus is. He is the resurrected Son of the living God. Even God who came in the flesh to die on a cross and bear the sins of the world, to pay for those sins so that we could be free, to break the power of those sins so that we could live free. Praise God. And then rose again from the dead to prove that everything he said was absolutely true. And then we have the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Christ in us. Christ in us. That power. What did Paul say in Romans chapter 8? If the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And brother and sister, if you're a Christian, then the same Spirit does dwell in you. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells on the inside of you to change your life, to drive your life and to change your life and to make you more and more like Jesus every day. We can be free and we can live free if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these revelations bring faith, and faith lays hold of God's grace, and grace is sufficient to give us strength in time of weakness so that we always overcome. That's why the Bible, you read the New Testament, brothers and sisters, it always calls us things like more than conquerors, overcomers, victors, champions. This is the way the New Testament refers to us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be honest with you, I don't always feel like an overcomer. I feel like I've been overcome sometimes. I don't always feel like a victor. A lot of times I feel like a victim. You know. I don't always feel like a... somebody said, you're not a chump, you're a champ. Well, sometimes I feel like a chump. But listen, there's a champion. You remember the story of King David when Samuel went to David and... to appoint him to be the king over the nation of Israel. Samuel goes to David's father, and he's got like six other sons. And he sees a couple of them, and he says, man, some of these guys, they look like prototypes of kings. Surely there's a king in this family. God looks at every one of those beautiful, long, tall, strong men and says, no, none of these. Saul says to David's father, he says, is there another son in the house? Well, there's one more. He's out in the field. He's tending the sheep. He's the youngest. And he calls for David to come into the house. And the moment David walks in the house, Samuel looks at David and God says, that's my king. That's my king. Samuel saw a teenage shepherd boy. God saw a king. Let me ask you a question today. What do you see when you look at your life? What do you see when you look at your life? Do you see somebody who's insignificant, small, whose life has very little meaning, very little purpose? Do you see somebody who has been through the ringer of life several times and you're just wrung out because of life? Do you see somebody that life has rained down on you, even though the Bible says we're supposed to be reigning in life? Let me tell you something. When God looks at you as a child of God, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today, when God looks at you, he sees the champion. He sees the victor. He sees the King. He sees the overcomer. He sees the more than the conqueror. And it's who He wants us all to be in relationship to sin, even in this lifetime. Let me share with you very quickly some things about the choice that we have to make. When we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we are given a new spirit, that we're given a new nature. Peter says we have become partakers of the divine nature of God, and that dwells on the inside of us. And so every time temptation comes our way, we have a choice to make. Are we going to go by the old nature, the old sin nature, or are we going to go by the new nature of God, the new nature of righteousness? We can make that choice. We can make that decision. So here we are. We're good believers. We've been studying the Word. We've been walking with God. We've got a strong relationship with the Lord. We're strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We're doing some other things to ensure our freedom, by the way. There's several other things that the Bible tells us that we need to do. One thing is we need to put some boundaries in our lives as Christians. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, it says that bad company can corrupt good morals. So we need to be careful of the kind of people that we hang out with. We're going to put some boundaries in our lives. We're going to look out for the kind of people that we hang out with. 2 Corinthians actually says, come out from among them and be separate. We're not going to hang out with the people that are going to get us in trouble. Remember David? David fell into adultery when he was in a place he shouldn't have been, seeing things he should not have seen, wanting things he should not have wanted. And often we get into trouble in our own lives when we're at the wrong place, doing the wrong thing, looking at the wrong thing, and wanting the wrong thing. And we stumble and we fall into sin. Now we're going to set some boundaries in our lives. David also said this. In the Psalms, David said, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I often wonder if he actually didn't get that revelation after his experience with Bathsheba. He realized the error of his ways and realized you can't set bad things in front of your eyes and expect to escape those things. The proverb says, can a man take fire to his bosom and not be burned? The implied answer is, of course you're going to be burned. You got to stay away from the fire, brother and sister. We got to set some boundaries in our lives. Job said in Job 31, I have made a covenant with my eyes to not look upon the virgin. In other words, he says, I am not going to put myself in a position where I am tempted by lust. I'm going to put some boundaries in my lives. And brother and sister, you and I need to set some boundaries in our lives in order to keep the enemy out of our lives. Because if we don't, he will take advantage of us. And it doesn't take but one misstep on our behalf in order for him to have access to our lives. So we're going to set some boundaries. We're going to have fellowship with God. We're going to study the Word of the Lord. We're going to be prayed up. We're going to be studied up. We're going to be served up. We're going to be loving Jesus with all of our heart. Temptation is still going to come. But you know what's going to happen? Because we are walking so strongly with the Lord, when the temptation comes, we're going to respond exactly the way that Joseph responded in Genesis chapter 39 when he was tempted in immorality with Potiphar's wife. And when she tempted him, his response was, how can I do such a thing and sin against my God? He loved God more than he loved the opportunity for sin. And brother and sister, if we'll stay right with the Lord and if we'll love God with all of our heart, it'll protect us from the temptations of sin. But how many of you would admit this morning that prayed up, studied up, loved up, served up, walking with God individual is not always you? And it's not always me. And sometimes we do allow the world to infiltrate our lives and pull us away from our walk with the Lord so that we don't walk with God the way that God intends for us to. What happens then when the temptation comes? And in a moment of weakness, we succumb to that temptation and we fall into sin. Well, brother and sister, praise God, there is still hope for us even after we've fallen into sin. Look over at 1 John with me real quick. 1 John chapter 1. We've got to recognize the destruction that sin is going to bring into our lives. And even after we've stumbled into it, we can still be freed from it. For John tells us in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we stumble into sin, if we'll go to the God with a sincere heart of repentance, we ask the Lord to forgive us of the sin that we've committed, God will forgive us. He'll wash it away. He'll cleanse us. He'll make us whole and make us holy again. But how many of you know the devil typically doesn't leave that easily? And sometimes the enemy is persistent. And he doesn't always flee at the first command. And sometimes we stumble again. In times of repeated stumbling, it's in times like that when it's important for you and I to have brothers and sisters in the Lord that we can go to and we can talk to about the things that are going on in our lives. Whether it's a pastor, whether it's a Christian counselor, whether it's a brother and sister, a mature Christian that we can count on, maybe a husband or a wife that we can count on. And we can talk about the things seriously that are going on in our lives and seek cleansing from those kinds of things. The important thing, you know what? The important thing about sin is this. As long as we keep it hidden in the dark, its power and its grip over our lives will be constant. Sin gets its power from secrecy and darkness. And if we keep things in the dark, that sin will continue to control our lives. Best thing we can do, and look, I understand these things are not easy, but it is far better to go through the pain of repentance and confession and cleansing than it is to have to go through the pain and humiliation of the sin. Because even after that, hopefully you're going to go through the cleansing and you're still going to deal with the pain and the humiliation of having to confess something that you did that you know was just the stupidest thing in the world. But listen, we need to have somebody that we can talk to. And if something is continually holding us back and keeping us down, we need to have somebody that we can go and talk to and confess these things to bring them out into the open, to bring them out into the light. The Bible says that light conquers darkness. It always has, it always will. And if we bring our sins out of the darkness and into the light, those things can be conquered in our lives, and we can find victory over those things if we confess and repent and make the choice to say yes to the Holy Spirit and to walk away again. But how many of you know, sometimes there are sins in our lives that have been going on for a long time, and they are habitual, and we keep falling into these sins over and over and over again. Maybe it has to do with something like being honesty and showing integrity. And yet you just have this temptation to lie constantly in your life. Maybe it's a situation of bitterness and unforgiveness. Maybe you've been wounded by so many people for so long, in so many times in your life. You just want to have nothing to do with forgiveness where people's offenses against you are concerned. And just being bitter and being unforgiving is just who you've been. It's not what you do anymore. It's who you've become. It's who you've become. Maybe there's an addiction. Maybe there's a bad habit. Any of these kinds of things can become virtually a demonic stronghold in your life if you let these things live long enough within you. And these sins can get their tentacles into your brain. And all you can think about is these things. And you seem like you can never be free from them. And this is what alcohol does. And this is what pornography does. And this is how these things destroy your life. And brother and sister, I'm telling you today, you can be free from that. You can be free from the bad habits. You can be free from the addictions. You can be free from alcoholism. You can be free from pornography. And I'm not saying you'll never be tempted by those things again, but I am telling you, you can be free from those things today. Jesus Christ sets you free. Listen, either the Bible is true or it's not. And either Jesus can set you free from these things or he's a liar. Because he says who the Son sets free is free indeed. But let me tell you something. In order to be free from habits that you've had for a long, long time, addictions that are controlling your life, evil thoughts that just live in your brain constantly, in order to be free from these things, you've got to be willing to stand up and fight. You've got to be willing to do what's necessary in order to be free. In the natural world, we call it hitting bottom. You gotta hit bottom. You gotta be so down that there ain't nowhere else to go but up. You gotta be so down that you're tired of going down. You gotta get fed up and sick and tired of being sick and tired and being beat up in your life. You gotta get to the place where you are sick and tired of hurting in your life. And I tell you, brother and sister, when we get there, our lives can turn around and God gives us the power to do it. God gives us the power to do it. There's a story, and you're familiar with the story of Jacob and Esau in the Old Testament. And they're the twin brothers of Isaac. And Esau is the oldest. And yet his baby brother, his little brother, steals his birthright from him. And steals the father's promise from him. And Esau is angry over it. And he goes to his father and he says, "Father, isn't there one blessing that you have left for me?" Father Isaac looks at Esau and he says, "You're going to become a great kingdom in your day, in your time. Your family is going to grow." But he said this. He said, "You're going to serve your brother." You got to understand the culture in order to understand that. Big brother is told that he's going to serve little brother. That doesn't happen in that day and time. But then Isaac says this to Jacob, to Esau. Listen to what he says. He says, "But when you get restless, then you will break his yoke from around your neck." Brother and sister, that to me is a spiritual principle that you and I need to learn in order to be free from the devil. If we're going to be free, if we're going to walk in the freedom that belongs to us in Jesus Christ, we've got to get restless. We've got to get angry about it. We've got to get fed up. We've got to get mad at the devil. And we've got to get to the place where we're just not going to put up with it anymore. We're not going to take it anymore. That word where it says in my translation, when you get restless, it can actually be translated when you get violent. And again, if we look at that from a spiritual perspective, we need to get violent with the devil. And we need to take the spiritual weapons that God has given us, and we need to stand firm against the temptations of the evil one and fight the fight that is before us. And win the battle in order to be set free. The Bible says we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And Jesus gives us the pattern in Luke chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, when the devil came and tempted him. Every time he came and tempted him with sin, Jesus responded with the Word of God. The devil tempted him again. Jesus responded with the Word of God. And you and I have got to get into that Word, and we've got to renew our mind to the Word, and we've got to know the Word of God, so that when the devil comes and tempts us, we can take the Word of God and we can use it against the devil just like Jesus did and drive him out of our lives. We've got to let the devil know, listen, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and I will not defile God's temple. We've got to tell him, devil, you have no authority here, and I will not listen to you, and I will not obey your voice. Get behind me, Satan, just like Jesus did. We've got to, you listen, there is power in the Word of God. And there is power in God's Word when we speak it from a place of faith. Jesus said so. Mark chapter 11. Believe in God, Jesus said. Whoever speaks to this mountain and believes in his heart that it's going to move, you can cast it into the sea. We have been given the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to speak to darkness, to speak to evil, and cast it out of our lives. But we've got to be willing to use the Word of God. Listen, there is power in the Word of God. There is authority in the name of Jesus. And there is freedom. Freedom in Jesus' victory over the devil that belongs to you and me. It's our birthright. It's our inheritance. His victory has become our victory. But we got to walk it out just like he had to walk it out. And if we'll use the weapons that God has put at our disposal, we can resist the enemy and he will flee. And just like Jesus got up and walked out of that grave, you and I can walk away from anything and everything that is killing us today. Choice is ours. Choice is ours. Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I don't know about you, but I could use some of that indeed today. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for what Calvary means for us today and for all eternity. We thank you that the new life that is ours in Jesus begins the moment we say yes to Jesus, and the benefits of that new life begin in the here and now and continue forever. And we praise you for that. Teach us, Father, how to walk in your ways, so that we live and experience your grace, your victory, your freedom over sin. Freedom over sin. So we know the joy of our salvation. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.